Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician. Hey ladies, the Holistic HA Practitioner Certification is coming up on a big sale this September 16th. And in the lead up, I'm doing a big information session for you to figure out, is the certification to become an HA coach, a holistic HA coach, the right move for you? This is not the right move for everyone. Some of you, most of you probably are still in recovery, but there's a special group of us that feel like, ooh, I think this mess just became my reason for being. I want to help other women through this issue. And we actually have a really big, wonderful, massive community. The community of HAs is actually really huge, and it's always growing as people discover more and more about this problem. And it's hard to find information out there. There's not enough information in all of the different languages that are out there. And there's not actually enough people helping people get periods back and redevelop their fertility and build families. There's a shortage, and you know, there's not really enough coaches to service everyone. So this certification helps women just like you, women who have been through hypothalamic amenorrhea, who want to pass it forward and use what they've learned to connect with other women and help them recover. This certification helps you do that and gives you a lot of tools, science, resources, and coaching skills so that you can actually help to make a difference in other women's lives. So I'm doing an information session coming up on September 15th at 2 p.m. Central Time. So that's 2 p.m. for me in Texas, but it should be a decent time zone for everyone else in the world, I think. Okay, everyone's awake at that time. So that's the time I'm doing the info session. I will be taking you live through every single part of the certification, but also what are the career opportunities? What have we learned after doing this certification now for 3 years? What are the opportunities, not just for business, but also for your own personal development, your own recovery? This can really help to fast track people. We have a number of people who have done the certification while in recovery. So not only does it help them get their cycle back, but by the time they're done, they're accredited and ready to start building and developing this type of work into their practice, whether they are looking to become an HA coach from a straight up career change, or if this is something that they're looking to add into their existing practice. Like, we have doctors, we have physical therapists, PTs, eating disorder therapists, and then, you know, we have a lot of women just looking to do like what we do, which is work with women with HA as their specialty. So head to holistichapractitioner.com/coach training and you will find the registration and you'll get the invite to the event, and I'll see you there. At this stage, there does not plan to be a replay. I don't think there will be a replay. So sign up and add it to your calendar and show up live. And we're also doing a big discount. The certification is usually $2,500 US. There'll be a discount with some bonuses, bringing it down to $1,700 only for the 4 days that the certification is open for enrollment. So come check out the info session, see if it's for you, ask me all the questions you want, and you'll also be able to jump on a one-on-one call with me if you want to talk about it. So that's holistichapractitioner.com/coach training. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm giving you another mashup of Q&A questions from my HA Society live stream/YouTube Q&As. if you want to get those live and up to date, you should definitely subscribe to the HA Society. That's thehasociety.com/join, by the way, or go to Danny Sheriff on YouTube. That's my channel. So today I'm answering some questions that people have given me, things ranging from, can kidney stones be relevant to why I am missing my period? And that's at the end, but I'm kind of just giving you some motivation today, HA recovery motivation, to help people who feel like they just don't really want to change, because that's really common. You're not alone if you feel like that's you, having a bit of a hard time getting the motivation to make the changes you know you need to make. I get it. It's hard. So enjoy this episode. And if you have a question you want to submit to the show, please do so on the YouTube channel or at the HA Society, or hit me up on Instagram or Danny at thehasociety.com in email. Enjoy. The Psych Genius asks, after regaining for the first time, is it okay to feel extremely cold all the time? What does it indicate? So you might get a period back after HA for the first time and still have symptoms of low hormone function. You're not completely hormonally restored once you get your first period back. So most likely you still have some waiting to do, and that's okay. Wait it out, get more periods. It should improve time over time. Okay. Another question is, how do we know how much food intake to increase by to account for the reintroduction of exercise? And what would incrementally adding in exercise look like? So I have a whole article about everything I've ever really published, I think, on exercise. So I'm just going to link you to that. I think you should check it out. And we are working, I think, on a guide for how to reintroduce exercise. So make sure you're on our email list if you don't have that. But the reintroduction of exercise should definitely have your food at least stay the same, if not increase. Okay, Tiana says, I'm desperate. I got my first recovery period on August 12th, 2024. Then my second one on September 5th, and then my third cycle was really long, 48 days. So I got it on October 23rd, 3 days ago. My issue is that I developed a lot of acne under and on my chin, on my jawline, and some pimples on forehead here and there. I started to break out at the end of September. So I guess it was because my third period was late, and apparently I did something wrong again at that time. Thankfully, I got my third period, but I'm still getting acne. My cheeks are completely clear, so I say that my gut is really healthy as I take care of my nutrition. Now I eat a very balanced and without restrictions, but I have hormonal acne. Will my acne improve? It should improve, especially as you increase your progesterone levels a lot of the time. So if you have a short luteal phase, I would work on resolving your luteal phase and seeing if that helps with acne. I personally find that I get acne in the first half of my cycle, and then once I've ovulated and my progesterone is high, my skin is much nicer up until like when my period's about to begin. So people have like their own experiences with that. But if you're really having issues with it, I would get an HTMA test. So we do this hair tissue mineral analysis with clients. You could do a one-time consult with us, and we can look at your chart and your lab work and help you figure out what areas of your cycle need to be improved. And then we can run this HTMA test that helps fill in foundational mineral gaps. So potassium, magnesium, sodium, and calcium. And these ones, in particular potassium, and zinc, all of the minerals, they really help with skin. So if you can figure out which minerals you're low in, and if you can't, then I would recommend you just, you know, find foods that are high in all of those foundational minerals and try upping them and seeing if it helps with your skin. So it can still be diet related. Not that there's anything wrong with your diet, but it can be that there's just gaps because of the history you had, right? If you've had HA for a long time, if you've been on hormonal birth control, medications, things like this, you're going to be depleted. Even if you're eating well now,
you have like a backlog of mineral depletion that you need to actually work a little harder to fill. So we test clients for this often. If they're showing, like if their body's just not responding to standard food increases and introducing things that we can see on their food log that they're low in, if their body's not responding, we might test for those gaps and fill it. And acne is a common one with that. Okay. Bailey, I'm in recovery right now for 6 months and I also got depression, but it started when I was 2 months into recovery. Do you think it's because of recovery? Bailey, I don't know. It certainly could be a hormonal shift if you made a bunch of changes. It could be a hormonal shift if you're not comfortable with the changes and it's like, you know, having to make changes to your exercise and your diet and your body changing and your clothes fitting. These can be triggering events that can be making, you know, making you feel this way. It's also important to remember that, like, if you have reasons to feel down that are real, this is not depression necessarily. And then if you feel like you're really down for no reason at all, then that's something to look more at. But there are no correlations necessarily between HA and like getting your period back and then that being triggered. But this is a time for everyone and anyone to have a really strong support network, ideally a therapist, something like that, a coach, that's what we do, because the truth is this is really hard, really hard for a lot of people. And then Rena Loves Cats says, hey, I'm quite young and I've been struggling with period loss for 7 to 8 months and I'm recovering from over-exercise. However, I do still exercise and I started eating more. I don't know what to do and I'm scared about how all of this will affect my health. Do you have any suggestions? In addition to this, my exercise schedule is I walk 5 kilometers every day to school 5 days a week. I play football for 4 hours and 30 minutes per week. And I occasionally go to the gym. I weigh 60 kilos and I'm 5'8", and I know this may be a lot of exercise, but I'm still making progress. But I'm scared, what shall I do? So I don't know how young you are, so your height to weight ratio actually might be fine if you're like an early teenager. If you are late teens to early 20s, definitely keep an eye on that amount of exercise and the fact that your period is missing. You may need to back off the exercise more likely. Or you need to up your food. Like, it's one or the other. And I have a feeling, Rena, like, you have stories in your head about why you just don't want to make those changes and you're really happy with your body and the way that you're exercising and you just, like, don't want to change anything about it. But either you need to eat more or you need to exercise less. Which one it is, I don't know. Okay.
Hey, guys, for a very... very limited time only, we are giving you your very first bottle of Juul free. So you guys know that we own Juul Wellness. This is our supplement company that does desiccated beef liver and oyster capsules, and that we only deal with and create products there and here at the HA Society personally that we take and use every single day and recommend to our clients. We started Juul because we wanted the most nutrient-dense foods for hormone health available to you, which is grass-fed beef liver and oysters from New Zealand. And we wanted to do them in a super convenient capsule form so that you didn't have to cook it, necessarily taste it, and you just have this pure nutrition that your body can actually see. And we try to explain this to you guys as much as we can, and you get it, and a lot of you are doing it, like nod your head if you're already taking your liver supplements, right? We believe in these products so much. But the thing is, until you try it, you just don't fully understand just how much it can help you with your fertility, hormone balance, your energy, focus, mood, and overall vitality. We have people like, you know, our parents and our older friends, all the way through to our young teens and college age kids that are reaping the benefits and feeling it and like addicted to it, because once you stop taking it, you can really tell. And that's why, for a very limited time only, we are giving you your first bottle of Juul, either oyster or liver, whichever one you want to try first, completely free. You just pay shipping, but you can choose between either, and we will send it right to your door. You just have to cover the shipping, but the whole bottle is free. This is a $50 supplement. So we believe in it so much that we want to give you your first one, try it, and see how you feel. These are not magic pills, right? They're real whole food nutrients that can actually help you. They support egg quality and hormone health. They help with iron, zinc, and B vitamins. These are all things that are massively depleted for people who have HA. It helps to improve energy and focus without having caffeine crashes. I take mine right before I go to training as much as I can. And it helps you just nourish your body in a way that is actually sustainable and bioavailable. That this is real food, so like your body can actually absorb it and use it. We really want you to feel the difference for yourself. So go ahead and try this zero risk. Just head over to jewelwellness.com and you'll see the option to get your free sample today. Seriously, once you start, you will understand why we don't go a day without taking it. That's jewelwellness.com.
Let's do this one. Nina the Psych Genius says, "Hey Danny, I've been following your YouTube Q&As for a while and I decided to ask you a question. I hope you see this and answer in the future. Thanks in advance. I had HA for 8 months. I consulted a gynecologist who prescribed the pill. I bought it, but I never took it since I wanted to recover it naturally. I recovered my period in October and I made some lifestyle health choices and I followed your tips on YouTube. I had it for 6 days and now in November, it's already 30 days late. I feel really frustrated because I was doing my best not to get stressed, but I guess inevitably I did get stressed during exam time. Yet, I was hopeful it would come back because I was definitely ovulating. The past month, I experienced cervical mucus, mild cramps, headaches, fatigue, and mood swings. And I constantly feel like I've started my period, but there's no bleed. I suppose that's a ghost period. I decreased my workout significantly. This month, I only did yoga 3 times, and yesterday I was doing yoga poses specifically meant for inducing periods. But clearly it hasn't worked. I appreciate you getting back to me. And I wanted to add that I felt extremely cold after the first period." So that's like the first question in the video. That should pass over time with consistent cycling. I don't know about ghost periods. I don't think those are real. I think sometimes we read into our bodily changes because we are still trying to recover and our body's trying to ovulate, not having enough, backing off. Takes a while sometimes to get started, like an old car that hasn't run for a bit. And so you feel the symptoms and the signs of those hormonal fluctuations and imbalances happening, but you don't necessarily have the period yet because your body's not ready for it at this stage, or you actually haven't quite got enough food coming in yet to fill the uterine lining. I don't know where you're at. I haven't looked at your case specifically. That's definitely something I can answer if I know you better. But I would say that yoga poses are not going to do anything. And if you're trying to get your period back through like anything but eating more and increasing your weight, then you're probably going to get really stuck. This is definitely, those are all helpful things for different reasons, but you can't skip the phase of letting your body get up to set weight and staying there, keeping that there. I think this answers your question, but let me know if it doesn't and we could keep talking about it. And then we've got, how about Maria? "Hi Danny, I love your videos and your no BS approach. Thanks. I'm 19 and I've been struggling with a restrictive ED for 2 years from the age of 15. I recovered and I would say that I have a fairly healthy relationship with food now. However, I'm pretty athletic. I do a lot of self-defense and running. I was able to recover my period on and off for about 2 years and it came back after going all in during ED recovery. Then I lost it again due to falling back into old habits. I lost it again twice after recovering through hard work, eating insane amounts of nuts particularly, and now again due to training for a half marathon and a breakup. I don't know if that was also a stressor. I know I should stop exercising again, and I will, since I have reached my goal now. However, I'm so worried since my recovery process is taking so long. I feel like it's either put my entire life on hold and have a period, or do the things I'm passionate about and always live in fear of losing it. I don't want to give up, but I also want to enjoy my life partying and reaching goals in my 20s. I'm a bit lost with the process. I think this is a good question. I was also in my 20s, but I was in my like mid to late 20s. This is a big deal because you're right. There's a lot you want to get done in your 20s. But here's the thing. This is a question. Are you saying, Maria, and anyone else who resonates with this? Because it's the same with your 30s. Like, you don't want to miss out on your 30s. You don't miss out on your late 20s. All these things. Are you saying that you cannot be happy and passionate and have fun if you are not in a restricted state? Meaning, if you want to do exercise, try it, but I guarantee you, you have not tried eating enough. And you may have increased your food a little bit and been like, this is what I'm comfortable increasing it to, and my period's not back yet, so now what do I do? No, you need to actually eat. If you are passionate about your exercise, you will have no problem eating as soon as you wake up, eating your snacks, filling in your nutritional gaps. You will have no problem with it. You won't care if you need to gain some weight if it's really about doing your activities. But it's not, because you have this history of an ED. So we know based on that a lot of your decision making is about how it will affect whatever it is that your ED doesn't like. If it's a healthy eating based ED, if it's a body weight, shape, thinness based ED, we know that the issue is actually upsetting that. So what you're saying is you would like to be happy in your 20s with your ED behaviors existing in the capacity that they do so that you can keep having your cake and eat it too. No. If you're really passionate about that stuff, you will eat and you will back off of some of the amount of exercise that you might be doing. I hope that helps. I could talk about that all day, so I am gonna stop myself. But yeah, you have to keep asking yourself every time you question, like, should I be sick or should I be happy? I mean, it's a choice. People choose it all the time. It's 100% a choice. Do whatever you want. I don't actually care if you choose to be sick. I'm here to help the people who choose to be healthy and who are choosing this path for themselves. I'm here for those people. I'm not saying there is no one stopping you from choosing the other path. So if you're here and listening to this and going into all this information, you obviously want to be healthy. That's what you actually want. That's what you're actually passionate about. And you're just at a crossroads because you're not used to having to make choices between things that you love and want to do. Well, welcome. This is going to happen again in other areas of your life. One day you're going to have to make choices that leaves, like, when you say yes to something, you say no to something else. Always. That's how it works. You say yes to this means you're saying no to this. You're saying yes to going out with your friends means you're saying no to staying at home and chilling. It's just logical, right? So when you're saying yes to ED type voices, behaviors, when you're saying yes to your passion for exercise, you're saying no to actually being healthy, and you're choosing that. And that's okay, right? People choose to be unhealthy all the time, right? So you just have to have a heart-to-heart with yourself. What do you really want? What do you really want? And take pride in your ability to let go of something that you love. And it's temporary. Please, people, it is temporary. If you're in your early 20s, I don't even want to hear about. Your teens, your early 20s, I don't even want to hear about. You're running out of time. Right? So you're not running out of time for anything. And I'll tell you right now, going through HA doesn't ruin anyone's life. It makes your life better. And this is what is so funny. So many people are like in this weird belief mindset that, like, if I go through recovery, I'm going to end up unhappy. I'm going to end up fat and unhappy. That's not how that works. Okay. Might you be uncomfortable in your body at some stage? Yeah. If you do the work and reap all the benefits, I specifically remember being like, oh my gosh, I can have 10 more pounds and be this happy, this relaxed, this spontaneous, this fun. Absolutely.
And now for the next episode.
I have a special episode today dedicated to one of our really regular YouTube listeners, Stacy, who has messaged me a lot of questions in the past. And I, this whole time, have thought that I have answered her questions. Like, I've seen, Stacy, your questions come in and have been like, oh, well, let me answer someone else's just because I've answered Stacy's before. And then she emails me and basically points out to me that I have almost never answered her questions. And she was like, I hope one day I'll get one of my questions answered. So she was totally amazing about it. I just really thought that I had answered the questions. So let's dive in. Let's try to bust out Stacy's. I have a question all the way from April. So she goes, hey there, I'm working towards my recovery and I feel optimistic. I've gained 10 pounds. I have cervical mucus and I'm overall feeling mentally intact. Love that. Your podcasts have been helpful. Oh, good. I'm 41. I have had no period for 3.5 years. And I definitely have some disordered eating. Plus I have a love for running and living an active lifestyle. I've never taken birth control aside from my early 20s and it never made me feel very well. I felt well up until the last year where I noted some health concerns. I've been in quasi-recovery until last healthcare scare in January, where I had a couple kidney stones that needed removal. I had a follow-up ultrasound and they found 4 more non-obstructing ones. I feel defeated. I followed all the diet recommendations, plus lots of H2O and still no change. No family history either. My urologist is unfamiliar and disinterested in HA and couldn't answer whether a lack of estrogen could be causing this. I'm really hopeful that my period will return spontaneously, but I'm tempted to take birth control to support my kidney health. Any insights? Bone density scans are showing the beginnings of osteoporosis. I've had cardio without this in unremarkable. My only other complaint would be my oral health. My mouth always feels dirty and I'm constantly brushing. Okay, interesting. And you're also saying that your endocrinologist ruled out everything and has landed you with HA. So the kidney stones is not something that I think is directly related to your HA, but of course, you know, there could be plenty of factors trickling down, making that happen. My one recommendation for you, if this is still something that you have a concern about, it's not even a recommendation, actually. It's just like throwing out there. Go research the amazing gallbladder flush. I think that's what it's called. It's a book. I've done it. You can literally do this, essentially cleanse, flush, detox that will remove physical stones from your body. You go through a process of eating certain things, including like food grade Epsom salt. It softens up the stones. All the things that you take soften up the stones, soften up the bile ducts. And as a result, you can then flush them out once you sort of start drinking this vinegar drink. I've done it. Physical things come out of your body. So that's a possibility. But if you're not having constant buildups of that, then I don't recommend you do it till you're recovered, because it does involve like some fasting and flushing. There is a fly buzzing all around us. So if that comes into the microphone or you see me swatting, that's what's going on. Okay, then Stacy emails me again later that month, I think. And she says, I have 2 questions. Again, I'm 40. post-fertility, as thankfully I've had my children prior to HA. I've been without my period for 3.5 years. Yes. So she gave us that context. She's been all in. Her 2 questions are insights on the kidney stones. Boom, just answered it. Linked to HA, not that I really know of, but definitely linked to osteoporosis, which is her next question. Yes, osteopenia, osteoporosis. You are not producing enough estrogen and you're older now, so your bone health is going to go whoop if you don't get on top of that. Also, do any of your clients complain of the dirty mouth feeling? Okay, no, but anyone on the live stream, do you guys have like the dirty mouth feeling? Do you guys feel that? It, of course, wouldn't shock me for that to be related at all. I think that low estrogen is related to a lot of things. But I would have to ask so many more questions, like what kinds of things are you eating? How hydrated are you? But like trust that something's up. Something's very up with the homeostasis of your body. And this is, yes, definitely can be related to HA. Okay. Let's go again. Good afternoon. My recent blood work came back with an estrogen level of 76. Very, very low. It's in ml over L. Progesterone was 0.6. No change from the previous. Progesterone won't change until you're ovulating. I've had cervical mucus, cramping, etc. I know it's hard to say exactly, but do you think period is likely around the corner? So this was all, this was the third email within a month. So I'm going to say, like, yes, the period could be trying to come at that time if you're seeing cervical mucus and you're having these cramps. But it's still possible that there's nowhere near enough energy to get you across the line to actually ovulate. So if you're seeing cervical mucus for more than 4 weeks, no change, it's not increasing, it's not changing, then you're not eating enough or resting enough or something like that. That's too long without a significant change to say, oh, I'm definitely going to ovulate at some point. Okay. Quick question. How quickly does estrogen climb or can fall in recovery? My estrogen was at 76 in April. July 2nd, it was less than 40 because I was doing a bit more running over the last 2 weeks. This was a blind spot for me. Estrogen low, FSH and LH both under 10. They're all in line with HA. She's feeling defeated. So her question is, oh my God, there's two flies. Her question is, how quickly can it improve? Estrogen can go from very low to normal range and have you ovulate actually very quickly in a lot of people. This isn't everyone. There are 100% many, many names that come to mind when I think about, wow, estrogen's really not responding as quickly as we expect. But in our average client, right, we see a turnaround for the average client in within 3 months. We see them go from abysmal no estrogen to ovulation, you know, well and truly within 3 months often. So like more, like significantly often, like probably 90 something percent of the time. So it can go very quickly when you're giving it what it needs. And you're mentioning here, you know, you're doing more running. I think that you probably have a lot of things that you're holding on to, Stacey. So I would definitely try to get that out. Okay, and then the last one. Good morning, quick and random question. Do HAs lose their thirst sensation? I do drink a lot of water every day. I'm the one with the kidney stones, and so I'm well hydrated. But curious, since the hypothalamus is responsible for hunger and thirst, is this a normal symptom, and should I be worried? I had a recovery period in July, but I lost it again. Okay, so I'm feeling like pretty confident that your thing, Stacey, is that there's still a lot of blind spots that you don't want to change because you got the period in July, went away again. And there's uncertainty about like why and what it's all related to. And I think that's probably causing you a lot of discomfort. But I do think that most of your symptoms are going to resolve if you can stick it out, get the periods, get three in a row, you're going to see an improvement. And you're going to not like back out as much as you may be doing that right now. Lots of things can happen to thirst, appetite, how often you need to pee, all of these things. I haven't heard of someone losing their thirst, being like, I'm never ever thirsty. It's usually the other way around. But if you are drinking a lot of water every day, then you probably are not thirsty, right? So it's definitely an HA trait to drink tons of water every day, right? It's like you can't leave the house without a water. I'm gonna put this out here. If you cannot leave the house without a water bottle, I think that's a problem, right? And I used to be there. I would be so thirsty.
Or even not thirsty, but just felt like I needed to be always drinking water, maybe to like suppress my appetite or whatever. Or just because it's this like health strategy that gets marketed, basically. Take a huge Yeti or a Stanley cup or something, fill it with water and drink all day. Go to the grocery store, you need to take your water bottle, blah, 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 blah. No, you don't need to go everywhere with a water bottle every day. You do not need to be drinking that much water. Especially in winter, you don't need to be drinking that much water. Maybe if you live in Texas in the middle of August, I get that for sure. But I think it's you're more than capable of hydrating yourself to a point that you can go out for an hour without having your water near you. So if you're over consuming water for reasons like you just feel like you should, right? Or it's helping you not be hungry. Now it's a habit. It initially was to help you lose weight or something, and now it's a habit. You can also be drinking too much water and basically could be flushing valuable minerals out of yourself. These are things that can happen. So I might just back off the water if you're drinking it, like you mentioned that you are, and hopefully that will resolve. That's what I got for you, Stacey. I hope that, you know, it's always hard to answer questions 100% without everybody's life context and my ability to ask them questions. So if this was helpful for any of you guys, great. Stacey, thank you for patiently waiting, asking your questions and letting me know that I never answered them. My bad. If anyone else wants their question answered on the show, you can email me, danny@thehasociety.com, or comment your question below and I'll eventually get to it in a video. Hope you guys have a great day, and I'll see you next time.
Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So TempDrop itself is a wearable fertility monitor and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the temp drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the temp drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So Temp Drop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons, like HA recovery, making sure your cycle is not slipping back in the HA direction, Temp Drop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the Temp Drop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck. Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.